Alexander Solzhenitsyn, survivor of the Russian gulag, had many profound insights from his experience that will help us understand the foundation death squads and torture squads are built on. This is from What Americans Need to Know About Death Squads and Model Death Squad Prohibition Legislation from October 15 of this year. It reads, to do evil, a human being must first believe that he's doing good, or else that it's a well-considered act in conformity with natural law. Fortunately, it is in the nature of the human being to seek justification for his actions. Macbeth's self-justifications were feeble, and his conscience devoured him. The imagination and the spiritual strength of Shakespeare's evildoers stopped short at a dozen corpses because they had no ideology. Ideology. That is what gives evil doing its long-sought justification and gives the evildoer the necessary steadfastness and determination. That's the social theory, which helps to make his act seem good instead of bad in his own and others' eyes, so that he won't hear reproaches and curses but will receive praise and honors. That was how the agents of the Inquisition fortified their wills, by invoking Christianity, the conquerors of foreign lands, by extolling the grandeur of their motherland, the colonizers by civilizations. Civilization, the Nazis by race, the Jacobins early and late by equality, brotherhood, and the happiness of future generations. Thanks to ideology, the 20th century was fated to experience evil doing on a scale calculated in the millions. This cannot be denied, nor passed over, nor suppressed. How then do we dare insist that evil doers do not exist? And who was it that destroyed these millions? Without evil doers, there would have been no archipelago, a horrible gulag iceberg. So let's get into it. Mass grave forensics, adding it all up. These are just a few of the bullet points. What Americans need to know about death squads, indeed. Hurricane Sandy, Nibiru, HAARP, chemtrails, and unsustainable civilization and death squads. Here, it's happened in other countries. It's worth at least putting on the list, don't you think? We'll be back with James Roger Brown in just a minute. This is Coast to Coast AM. Roger, I want to ask you, do death squads seem to appear, you know, the entity of death squads, however big or small they may be, do they appear in civilizations, nations, countries, whatever, property, real estate under control by someone, when that civilization either becomes or appears to become unsustainable? You mentioned unsustainable civilization earlier. So
well,
I guess the process of a collapse
that's almost the exact same processes that destroyed the Roman Empire. Let me preface what we're going to be talking about by saying that my experience with the issue of death squads is not an intellectual exercise. I've had to deal with several attempts to kill me and attempts to kill some of the people I was protecting. So some of my insights come from practical experience. In terms of the ideologies, there's hundreds of ideologies, if not thousands, out there that adherents will justify killing over. And some of them, you will laugh when you hear what they call themselves, but they're real and serious threats to everyone. You're familiar with jihadists, communists, but there are also extremist groups in the gay and lesbian community. There's female supremacists, lesbian separatists, and they're key actors in the organized crime and organized science fraud in the child protection system, for example. And
now, you realize how outrageous that must sound families to some people. I'm sorry, Roger. Say that again.
They're carrying out their ideology in the destruction of families. because among other things, some of them believe that gays and lesbians are genetically superior to homosexuals, which sounds like a familiar concept. But, you know, there's any number of ideologies out there that are threats that people are totally oblivious to.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to make any difference really what they are. It could be the radical Twinkie eater separatists.
Right.
You just have to believe that what you've got.
As long as they have an ideology that will justify killing other people.
Anything.
When that happens, you need to be on your guard.
Well, just a couple of guys talking here. What gets your attention in this regard? I mean, as far as contemporary society now, I mean, are we just in a decline that's irreversible, in your opinion? And this
let me clarify some of the broader issues that are going on. I don't think humanity is going to be wiped off the face of the earth yet. There are circumstances where that may yet occur, but I don't know what reasoning or information the Mayans used to reach their conclusion, but they appear to be right that this would be a crisis time of crisis. And there will be survivors, and I suspect myself that after the crisis occurs, things should improve among the survivors afterwards, because of some of the bad people will be eliminated also. But that might be an issue for another show.
Indeed.
The situation we're dealing with now is typical of how death squads evolved in Chile and Argentina. There were weak central governments that could not solve the problems of contemporary society. Obama has apparently no solution to the economic problems, the waste of resources on totally unjustified wars. To line the pockets of political donors that are in the war business.
Oh, yes.
Okay, those types of things are similar to what happened in the Roman Empire, where the tax revenues from entire provinces were used for orgies, ordering peacock tongue by the ton. Just totally outrageous things, which we've seen in Washington. In fact, there was an article today about an investigation into unjustified
Roger, let me ask you something. Why must this be laid at the feet of the king, the president, the Caesar?
Well,
in other words, we know just roll with it. You know what I'm talking about. We know they work with a lot of people. We know that they probably are not solely responsible for each decision. And yet we must lay this responsibility squarely in their lap.
Well, first of all, because he chose to be president and, he is the chief decision maker. And it is his responsibility for the conduct of all of the people that he's appointed to positions of decision-making and regulation enforcement, law enforcement. The idea of turning guns loose in Mexico, what kind of law enforcement is that? It's just totally insane.
Thinking it's not really
theory.
Enforcement.
I have a personal theory that somehow that was a tit-for-tat program to get guns to one specific cartel for services rendered or to be rendered in to benefit the administration. And it just happened to get exposed because one of the guns was used to kill an American border agent. Otherwise, it might not have been detected.
Do you think it might be possible that these, you know, you said some of the bad people will take care of themselves. I'm just wondering if that wasn't a mechanism to get some of the bad people to take care of themselves, you know, with the collateral damage.
Well,
being the good tissue that has to be cut out along with the tumor, so to speak.
Well, what's going on in Mexico is a lot more complex than you might imagine.
I'm sure.
In World War One, the Germans, German Ambassador Zimmermann, sent a cable to Mexico that was intercepted and translated. And basically, it was about an offer to Mexico to return the states they wanted in exchange for their help in destroying America. Well, the Chinese made the Mexicans the same offer, and it, as best I understand, they did enter into a secret agreement to join that enterprise. And there are arms and light tanks, light artillery that have been prepositioned, smuggled in with drugs, and prepositioned in caves throughout the Sierra Madre. So all they have to do is bring them across the border at the time of their choosing and hand them out to Mexicans that have hostility and the ideology that, you know, Americans need to be exterminated so they can take back their western states, like La Raza. You know, so that's a lot more complex than people are aware of. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but they've actually intercepted container loads of AK-47s that the Chinese were smuggling into the United States and pre-positioning. I think there
none of this surprises me at all. Just keep going. You know, a lot of people are going, wow, this is, I haven't heard anything like this at all. I mean, it's one minute it sounds like we're partisan, the next minute it sounds like we're not, and people are just like, this is a very, very different view of where we live now, Roger.
Well, you know, people tend to want simple concepts and problems, and quite often they're a lot more complex than presented or people are aware of. But if I recall correctly, there were three of a shipment of 10 containers that were inspected at the docks on the West Coast. I think it was Los Angeles. Maybe wrong about that, but they found that the three containers they examined were filled with AK-47s, and by the time they had done that, the other seven were already out the gate, never to be heard from again. You know, so that is going on, and probably a lot more have gotten in totally undetected. But that's the type of, you know, advanced planning. People need to understand that wars don't occur overnight. The logistics and stuff have to be planned and implemented 5 to 7 years in advance. Even World War II, where, you know, the logistics and stuff, there were preparations well before Pearl Harbor.
Sure, you don't just wake up one morning and decide to have a world war.
Right. You have to prepare for it in advance. But getting back to the article on death squads, and I also include torture squads in here, but you started talking about the mass grave forensics. There are really elaborate reports by anthropologists who've gone in and dug up these sites and examined the people. Among the findings were that people who were not bound were shot in the hips or legs to keep them from running away. And the reports about all of these body bags and plastic coffins being ordered to bury the people that are going to be executed is probably a misperception, because in places where death squads have operated, they've resorted to disposing of people in mass graves. And yes, I suspect the planning here in the United States for doing that would include the purchase of solvents to expedite dissolving bodies and bones so that they would be less likely to be detected and analyzed in the future. As I point out in the article, the people that do such things would not want whole cemeteries full of people with tombstones indicating they'd died in 1 year, and billions of people around the world.
Oh, sure. Stalin's people would remove every photograph, every record, every everything, yeah, every toy, the pets, everybody. You just were erased from existence.
Yeah. So if you are on the death squad list here in the United States, you're probably going into a mass grave, and you won't be using a body bag or plastic coffin. That would be for their casualties in conducting the operation.
What can you envision as a reason to? Well, let me start here. Recently, I was having a discussion with a couple of people about the various groups that have some visibility as far as what we're shown in mainstream media. For example, there's zero on three networks that I can think of about Benghazi now. I guess it's too close to the election. They've just all but dropped it. I mean, it's an incident of some moment. That's for sure. But there's pathetically little coverage of it. So I'm just wondering, if you had a person in place here that was of a mentality of a Joseph Stalin, maybe even a Vlad Putin. I don't know. We'll see. How long do some of these groups think that they would be around? Pick any group.
Well, to some extent, they've already been around for a long time. When you look back at human history over the last few centuries, about thousands of years, I guess, actually, what you've seen is a systematic destruction of all social organizations that would be supportive of the individual when attacked. For example, tribes, clans, extended families, and even the basic family unit. The pressure has been to break them down and separate them so that everybody is an alone individual. That makes everybody vulnerable to people in power with organized forces. So pick your organization. The Illuminati, I prefer to think of it in terms of what's described in the Dead Sea Scrolls with the sons of light against the sons of darkness.
Yes. I'll tell you what. Hold it up right there, Roger. Let's take our break, and let's pick up where we left off, and then we'll get into categories of death squads, including gangs. We'll explain as we go through the night together on Coast to Coast AM. Good to have you with us tonight. A slightly exotic and some might say a slightly obtuse subject to discuss tonight. Why does any of this make any difference to us? Well, when you have poverty, you have problems. You know, I hate to think of myself as a shallow person, but I think I'm a little bit happier when I've got a couple of bucks to throw around rather than having the old empty pockets. I'm sure many people can relate to this. Some years ago, there was a problem with homeless children in a South American country. And the way they dealt with that problem to a very, very easily measurable degree, and a high one at that, was by simply eliminating them, disappearing them. And that is why it is important for us to keep in mind that these things have happened before, and the odds compel that they will happen again. But it is imperative that we remain vigilant so that these things do not happen here, particularly in the same way that they have happened in other very highly evolved, very civilized countries and nations. Our guest tonight is James Roger Brown, and we'll be back with him in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to turn your clock back an hour before you cut it off for this particular day. Otherwise, you're going to wake up, late. So, or perhaps too early, depending on where you are. Roger, we were talking about the ethereal, those of light and versus those of darkness when we had to go to our break. Can you just pick up where we were?
Yeah, so I was saying that I'd prefer to think of it in those terms, because it, basically this is a the manifestation of the war between good and evil. But as Joseph Campbell said, something to the effect that life is great opera, but it hurts. Your example of the children being disappeared is an excellent segue into discussing the three types of death squads, because that's an example of the second type, which is vigilantes. I'm assuming you were referring to the instance of that in Brazil.
Yep. Which is now this mecca of commerce and opportunity and entrepreneurial spirit and all of that. But a few years ago, it was awful reports were coming out of there.
Yes. And as best I understand it, this is an example of the vigilante type of death squad, as opposed to the officially sanctioned and trained government troops or government police. And one of the experiences from this in Greece is it demonstrates that anybody can be trained, because the people that were put in their death and torture squads were draftees that were put through these training programs. And I have in the article a list of the specific techniques used to train the members of death squads and torture squads, so it makes it easier to spot them. But the vigilante type death squads, that can be religious organizations, political organizations, anything that's common social element that binds people together. The last is one that you would not expect, and people never, to my understanding, never think of it in these terms, but gangs. There's been some references, I think, to the drug cartels using death squads, primarily in Mexico, but they also have death squads operating in the United States, as do street gangs. And one of the examples that the police have mislabeled random drive-by shootings, the ideology of gangs, typical of death squads, there's a general consideration that people outside the gang are not humans, enemies, and you should show no mercy to them. and these random, quote, drive-by shootings, unquote, are actually an implementation of these death squad ideologies that you have to make your bones, which is death squad jargon, by killing someone you don't know. That demonstrates that you hate the outsiders and will do whatever is necessary to service the interests of the gang. And you know, we are faced with these, all three of these death squads, plus the examples I used earlier of death squads from other countries being allowed in here by elements of the government. And you know, with the economic crisis that's unfolding, it's going to be the most convenient thing for them is to see that you're killed, and not a problem for what they're planning on doing or holding them responsible for the outrageous conduct that they've already engaged in. So, you know, for any number of reasons, that they want you disappeared and dead. And, you know, unless you want to go through unpleasant experiences, these laws need to be implemented at state level. And that's the best chance you have of avoiding these people showing up on your doorstep. Because if your first line of defense is your doorstep, you've already lost.
Let me ask you this, Roger. Is this a planned sequence of events?
That's why they're ordering ammunition.
I was going to get to that. But, you know, the other thing is that now some people are going to say, oh, this is whatever wing, you know, fear-mongering, crazy, whatever it's like. I really don't think enough people understand these things have happened in other countries. What I'm trying to figure out is how close are we to having something like this happen? It seems like first you acclimate people to getting used to the idea that their government is involved in this. And it became visible to the public at large through our limited access to information, which would be via our mainstream media about torture and rendition for torture during the George W. Bush administration.
Yes, certainly.
And I'm wondering if this is just a slow conditioning to get used to it, so that by the time the death squad show up, it's like, yeah, well, so? And your point is what? We've been waiting for this.
You know, in one aspect, that's true, because they were portrayed as protecting the interests of Americans. But as I've said, you know, the death squads of other countries were allowed to operate here. Also, you know, there. Look at what happened in New York as a result of one hurricane. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, some of what happened is the exact same thing that you can observe in pictures of the aftermath of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where you have a total breakdown of civilization and, you know, broken people wandering around trying to maintain some kind of normal conduct. And the reports from New York of people defecating in the halls of the apartment buildings because the plumbing was not working. There are pictures from Hiroshima and Nagasaki of huge piles of excrement on top of commodes where, you know, these broken people tried to maintain some familiar life by continuing to use these things even when they did not work. So there are places you can look to see what you can expect as things break down. Also, from the election, you know, you can see the first stages of vigilante death squads and the tweets that have been cited in at least two articles I've seen, where Obama supporters are threatening to run rampant if Obama's not reelected. You know, that's the beginnings of vigilante death squads. So you have, and you know, if you start looking around and know what to look for, you can see the coming chaos from these various groups with ideologies that indicate you should be dead for one reason or another. And, you know, you may think that the best solution is John Wayne-ing with a mob or, you know, a trained armed death squad.
Right.
It's important to understand how that came about, because, you know, all of these John Wayne movies and Rambo, that was programming these people have been doing for decades, to put you in a position of literally committing suicide by doing something so stupid. You know, when you look at the places that fared well after the collapse of the Roman Empire, the people there continued to cooperate, continued to keep the utilities running, the aqueducts flowing, and places like Wells still have Roman buildings that have lasted all of this time, because they cooperated and helped one another and sustained some level of you know, technology and civilization. It's cooperation that has kept humans surviving this long. And if they succeed in breaking you down to believing that your best course of action is fighting it out with whoever solo, they've already won.
Well, let me ask you this then. I think you've as much as said that we are living in an unsustainable civilization.
Yes.
And frankly, I have not.
Not just my opinion. In the article, I contain have a link to the Woods article about, you know, comparing what's happening now with what happened in Britain at the end of the Roman Empire.
Yes, is that? No, good grief! There's a lot of information here. Yeah, history repeating itself.
Yes.
Yep. All right, so you just a couple of guys talking here. First of all, before I even get into any of that, what sorts of sources do you have on the information that you've relayed to us tonight?
Well, the sources for the article are contained in the article. As I indicated, I have some personal experience in this area, but when I write articles, I try to include just what I can document from other sources and, you know, provide references for people to go to and gain additional insights. So all of the stuff in this article, you know, comes from documented sources, like the quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
You know, architecture, music, literature, none of it withstanding, all the European countries all suffered. And, you know, of course, Germany and Russia were, they took over after the English and the French got finished in a couple of centuries before. So yeah. I suppose, is it our turn now or
what? Well, I attribute it to human stupidity, but yes, it apparently is our turn now.
Okay. Well,
it's preventable. You know, we can do something to try and keep the death squads off our doorstep. But you have to do something. Doing nothing will just let things go on. And, you know, as I indicated in this article, I could not find anywhere where anyone has ever enacted legislation to prohibit death squads anywhere. So this would be a first, but it's an obvious solution. I don't know why it's never been done before.
Once you start seeing the symptoms, you have to start being concerned about these things. I saw an article on, it was on InfoWars, and it was about police in full military equipment, camos, helmets, goggles, M4 rifle, everything, And they'd come to evict a woman from her house who wanted another 30 days to get situated somewhere else. But it's not so much that, look, you've been evicted, you have to go. It's that they showed up and made such a display. And I'm beginning to wonder if there isn't a concerted effort to get us used to seeing massed force like this so that we will not resist.
To intimidate us. For sure.
And what are we supposed to do about that, given the fact that, Thomas Jefferson warned against a two-party system? Well, that's what we have now. And, you know, I got a couple of challenges over the email. Everybody's nice about it, but, well, not so nice in a couple of instances, but so what? They're like, you know, for you to say that, you're just, you know, you're just clinging to the teat of the New World Order and the global elitists and all that. It's like, look, we were warned not to allow a two-party system to happen. It did. So therefore, we're going to have to deal with what we have to deal with now, because we can't do the could have, would have, should have. It's, well, we didn't. So this is what we have. And I just can't help myself. I feel like next week is going to be a really hard week. Election thing combined with the hurricane, it's just almost like the perfect sociological storm.
Well, there's an interesting twist on that. At one point, I was hired to do some research on two doctors that were labeled quacks in the 20s. And that required going through newspapers for that time period. Well, in covering several years, I noticed that there were political advertisements that contained the platforms for both the Democratic and Republican parties. And they were the exact opposite of what they are now. At some point in the 20s, the political platform of the Republican Party became the political platform of the Democrats, and what was then the political platform of the Democrats became the platform of the Republicans. I have to believe that that is not an accident, that it was some kind of manipulation, but from what I saw it in that, and my focus was completing this other task that I'd been paid for. I never did go back and delve into it anymore, but you know, that was bizarre.
Well, let's delve back into it. We'll take our top of the hour break, do a little news and a few things. We'll come back and let's pick that up if you want to. Our guest tonight, James Roger Brown, and it's a little bit spooky. No, it's very spooky. This is Coast to Coast AM. It's spooky.